History, as we know, is a contested space. Where I live in Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., the high school once known as Washington and Lee has dropped the Lee, as in Robert E. Lee. Lee Highway, by my house, has been renamed. But a big, big change is now coming to nearby Arlington National Cemetery. A giant memorial to the Confederacy, which has stood for more than a century, is to be removed by the end of the year. That's after decisions by Congress and the Pentagon. The cemetery calls this memorial a nostalgic, mythologized version of the Confederacy. In other words, largely a fiction. And this view is often called the lost cause.
It touches upon virtually every lost cause theme, every central element of the lost cause narrative.
So last month, I asked historian Leslie Rowland at the University of Maryland to visit the memorial with me. We circled around the structure. It's in a quieter section at the back of the cemetery. And then, since they don't allow interviews in the cemetery, we stepped outside the fence to chat.
If you were to describe the essence of the lost cause argument, what is it?
Mm-hmm. Well, the key elements are, first, that secession and fighting for a separate nation was not because of defending slavery, but was based on states' rights. This is a retroactive explanation that's not supported by the documentation at the time. A second key argument is that the Confederacy was defeated, but not really defeated, that it was simply overwhelmed by the larger resources of the North. And thirdly, that the constitutional causes for which they fought make them patriots, not traitors.
To be clear, she says these are all false or misleading narratives. I also asked her about the Latin inscription on the south side of the monument.
This is a Latin inscription that's a quotation from an ancient Roman poet. Roughly translated, it says, "The victorious cause, that is, Caesar becoming the dictator, was pleasing to the gods, but the lost cause, preventing him from being a dictator, pleased Cato." And Cato was noted for his moral integrity. Now, the message here is that the defeated cause, the lost cause, was in fact the morally superior cause.
Now, by design, this is an imposing structure. Now, picture this. A sea of gravestones, 3.5 feet tall, and rising above a bronze structure 10 times higher, with the figure of a female at the top.
And she's dressed in classical garb. On her head is a wreath of olive leaves, which signals peace. But in her left hand, she's holding out a laurel wreath. And the laurel was a symbol in the ancient world. It was awarded to the victor in war or in a competition.
So she's holding these laurels. She's declaring that these Confederate soldiers beneath me are the victors.
Yes.
As this memorial is slated for removal, a lot of Southerners and military families are furious. Many spoke out over the summer during public comments on Zoom.
My name is Kirk David Lyons. I'm from Black Mountain, North Carolina. I have 31 Confederate ancestors who I guess under the current administration would be considered as traitors to this country, but they served honorably in duty and resisted an illegal invasion. It would be a crime against art and a crime against humanity to take the Confederate Reconciliation Memorial down.
My name is David West. As a gay American and a person trained in graphic design, I am appalled that the U.S. Army would seek to destroy a memorial sculpted by Moses Ezekiel, who was not only Jewish, but was also gay. The Army now prides itself on being inclusive and diverse, yet this proposed removal lies in direct opposition to those goals.
Hello, my name is Jennifer London. My husband is buried in Arlington Cemetery. Someday I hope to be buried with him. His ancestors fought in the Confederacy. Mine were aligned with the North. It is unfortunate that slavery has been placed entirely on the back of the Confederacy. Less than 25% of Confederate soldiers were slave owners, while almost 500,000 slaves also existed in the North.
For all the disputes over the Civil War and slavery, this monument actually went up 5 decades after the war, in 1914. It was approved by the U.S. Secretary of War and bankrolled by a fundraising behemoth known as the United Daughters of the Confederacy.
The United Daughters of the Confederacy had been organized in 1894. To be a daughter, you had to be a descendant of the Confederate generation. Their principal goal was to vindicate Confederate soldiers and other members of the Confederate generation. They also romanticized the South before the Civil War, and they're making a story that are about their own mothers and fathers and grandparents, that they were kind masters, slavery was not a harsh institution, and so they're putting forward a sanitized, romanticized version of the pre-Civil War South.
So the daughters commissioned sculptor Moses Ezekiel to design this memorial. He's a Confederate veteran. And he draws up a series of human figures carved around the base of the structure.
He explicitly said that he wanted to include these, what he called loyal slaves, faithful slaves, that he wanted to include them as a way of correcting what he described as the lies that Harriet Beecher Stowe had told about slavery in her 1852 novel, Uncle Tom's Cabin. So he's explicitly correcting, that's his word, negative images of slavery.
There is, along the sides of the memorial, several life-size humans carved there.
But among those figures is this enslaved woman who was portrayed as a black mammy. That is, she cared for the white children of her owner's family. And she is holding a baby, the baby of her master who claims her as property, as he's going to war. She's holding the baby for him to kiss goodbye. And she herself is weeping as he's departing for war. Entirely sanitizing slavery and entirely erasing the enslaved people who worked against the Confederacy, who ran away the Union lines, 200,000 who served in the Union Army, and so on.
And she adds, those who spied for the North. In 1914, when the memorial is unveiled, a book about it, by the head of the Arlington Confederate Monument Association, restates Lost Cause myths, that the Civil War was followed by the horrors of Reconstruction. But years later, after Reconstruction effectively ended, the book says, quote, American manhood had triumphed, Anglo-Saxon civilization had been saved, end quote. Historian Leslie Rowland says, by the early 20th century, the Lost Cause argument was not some fringe theory. It was gaining followers among segregationists across the country.
The 1890s was a very dramatic decade in race relations. In 1896, the infamous Plessy v. Ferguson decision in the Supreme Court, in which the Supreme Court gave the okay to legally required racial segregation. The 1890s are also a decade in which the largest number of lynchings of African Americans took place. By 1914, when this monument is dedicated, there's growing concern, enormous concern, about the huge number of immigrants entering the U.S. So this racialist thinking had taken hold really nationwide with many dissenters and critics, but it was becoming dominant not only in the South, but also in the North.
Again, this Confederate monument at Arlington Cemetery is due to be removed by year's end. But the clock is ticking, and there are lawsuits to keep it there. Another option is to move it to a Civil War museum elsewhere in Virginia with far fewer visitors. For her part, historian Leslie Rowland says most Confederate monuments are, in her words, overtly white supremacist, and that it's time to stop honoring them.